Hi, you're listening to Adam Lee, winemaker and owner of Siduri Wines, where all we make is Pinot Noir. Please keep listening to Lynn on Wine and Dine.
Wine and Dine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain. Wine and Dine Radio is a production of Wine Ferry Incorporated on the web at wineferry.com. Welcome to Wine and Dine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Hi, well, my name's Andrew Jefford, and I write about places on Earth and the tastes and smells that are particularly connected with those.
Hi, my name's Jancis Robinson. I'm a wine writer, master of wine.
This is Doug Frost, a wine writer and just a guy who likes to drink wine.
Hi, my name's Steve Charters. I'm a master of wine and also a professor of champagne management in Reims, France.
Bonjour, my name is Gérard Bertolon. I'm the corporate chef for Cuisine Solution.
Bonjour, my name is Michel Richard.
Hello, I'm Heinz Beck from La Pergola restaurant, the only three-star Michelin restaurant in Rome.
Bonjour, my name is Christophe Chateau. I'm director of the Union des Côtes de Bordeaux.
Hi, my name is Anna Mastronardi-Novak. I'm an artist.
Hi, this is Julie L. Cannon.
Hi, you fans of Wine and Dine. This is Alan Goldfarb.
This is Braden Rex Johnson, the author of the Pacific Northwest Wining and Dining.
Bonjour, I am Clotilde Dussoulier, food writer and author of the food blog Chocolate and Zucchini Daily Adventures in a Parisian Kitchen.
And my name is Lynn Crelo Chamberlain, host of Wine and Dine Radio. You can find links to all guests online at wineferry.com. I just returned from Dallas, where I was a judge at the Dallas Morning News Wine Competitions. I had approximately 2005 Pinot Noirs. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, a really good vintage. I'm looking forward to the results in about a month from now. Joining us for the first segment on Wine and Dine Radio today is Alan Wright, who is the founder of Zephyr Adventures, Real Experiences, Real People. What caught my attention about Zephyr Adventures is that they offer wine tourism that includes exercise. And Alan, right now, the newest component of your portfolio of wine tours is, as I understand it, in Oregon?
Yeah, Lynn, actually all of our wine tours are new this year, 2008.
All of them are new, okay. Okay, so rattle off to us the different places that you will take people on tours where they get to taste wine, learn about wine, and wear off all those calories with exercise.
We are going to be running tours, wine tours, in seven locations this year. That will include Oregon and Sonoma in the United States. It'll include Burgundy, Tuscany, and Umbria, and Spain in Europe, and then it will also include South Africa and South America, Chile and Argentina combined.
My gosh. And what gave you this idea to have wine tourism combined with exercise? And tell us about the exercise, because you have a couple different formats of exercise.
Yeah, we do. And although these wine tours are new this year, we've been running active tours around the world for 11 years. And so this is just our newest division or creation. Everything we do is active. We're an active tour company, and when I go on vacation, I don't like to just sit around and sit on the beach or read a book. I like to do that at times, but the activity needs to be in there to keep me content. And we know there are a lot of other people like me out there. And so when I've traveled to wine areas of the world before, they're beautiful, they're fantastic, but I still like to be active in there. And that's how we got the idea for combining wine tourism with active travel. So what we do on these tours is we try to find what the best activity is for seeing each of the different areas where we go. And so it changes. For example, in Sonoma, we do exclusively vineyard walks. So we're walking and hiking through and nearby the vineyards there. In Italy, we combine biking with hiking. And because Tuscany tends to be hilly, we hike there, and then we switch over and go to Umbria, and we bike there. And for in other places, like in Chile and Argentina, we do a multi-sport trip where we're actually hiking, biking, river rafting, and horseback riding.
Oh, my gosh.
It sounds fun, doesn't it?
Wonderful, river rafting and horseback riding. And so is it like one day of wine tasting and then one day of exercise? How do you have it spread out?
Well, everything's in moderation, and everything's included on each of the days. And so on a typical day, we'll get up and we'll do some activity. We might hike through some vineyards or go for a bike ride. And then we'll stop for lunch and we'll do a wine tasting in the afternoon. Some people like to have more exercise than others, and so we usually have optional additional activity or shorter and longer routes.
Okay.
So we'll wine taste two or three different places in a day, and we'll also exercise each day at the same time. It's kind of intermingled. Usually we try to get most of the activity in the morning, and then we switch over more towards the wine tasting in the afternoon.
With the wine tasting, do you ever go visit an olive oil production in Tuscany or Umbria or a cheesemaker or something like that, or is it mainly wine?
No, we do add in other activities as well, definitely, because it's all about tourism and enjoying the local area. So we do visit a really cool, small, local olive oil press facility in Umbria. In South Africa, where you can actually go on safari, our trip there is a hiking wine adventure, but we include a three-day safari as well. So that's a little bit more than just a visit to a local cheese factory,
oh, yes.
But it's well worth doing there.
My heaven. So I mean, the price has to be, there has to be a lot of variety in price. Obviously, it's going to cost more to go to South Africa, South America, than it would to go to Sonoma or Oregon.
It does, yeah. Each of the tours ranges in price. The Oregon and Sonoma ones are $1,900 per person, which includes pretty much everything once you get there. And the South Africa one is our most expensive one, and that's $3,200. It's a longer trip, too, of course, because once you fly to South Africa, you want to stay there a little longer.
Yes. So Alan, do you make reservations or include for people their transportation within the United States or from the United States to the country? Or when does the tour, your package for Zephyr Adventures start, when they get to where, in Sonoma or in South Africa?
It does. It starts once people arrive. Oftentimes, most of the time, we're picking people up from the airport when they arrive at the local airport. And we explain to people, we give people the information on how to book their own travel to get there, but because people are flying from all different areas of the country and from other countries as well, we don't arrange their transportation for them.
It's overwhelming, I would think.
Yeah, it's just not what we do. That's kind of more of a travel agency, and as we all know nowadays, booking your airfare on the internet is pretty easy.
Yes.
And so we just help people do that and do it the most efficient way. And what we do is we're really the travel experts. We know the local areas. We have expert guides. We go in advance and we find local wineries that are not only producing good wine but also fun to visit and also want to cooperate with us on how we're doing things, because we're not your normal wine tourism agency. We're doing unique things. You know, we'll walk into a winery and say, has anybody ever walked from your winery over to that other winery on the other side of the hill? And they'll say, no. And we'll ask if we can do it. And if it was a great walk and seems to make sense, we'll incorporate that into a tour.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it sounds like an awful lot of fun, and it keeps you busy, I'm sure. And you're talking to us from Boulder, Colorado, where there is probably a good douse of snow on the ground.
Not too bad. There's snow, a little bit of snow outside, but it's supposed to be 45 degrees today. So
whoa, that's so like where it is where I'm on the coast in North Carolina. It's basically 45 degrees.
Oh. Yeah. Do you have any snow recently?
No, unfortunately. I wish. I wish.
Come on out to Colorado.
I know. I've been to Denver once, but that hardly even counts. It was for business many years ago.
Go on. You travel a lot for wine areas. Have you ever done active travel like this?
No.
Active wine travel?
Well, I suppose what I've active wine travel, going from winery to winery to winery from sunup until sundown, but never when it's incorporated exercise. I suppose the most active, according to what your definition is, I was in Alto Adige in June, and we visited the big botanical gardens there, which was a lot of walking, and we were all pretty tired from lack of sleep anyway. But it was fun. I enjoyed the exercise, I must admit.
It's a good thing to add in, because the driving from winery to winery, to hotel to restaurant, does get a little tiring, and the exercise is a good addition.
Yes. Wow. Well, Ellen Wright, we thank you so very much for joining us today on Wine and Dine Radio from Boulder. We're going to pick up this conversation and continue with Rena Walsh of Zephyr Adventures, talking to from Montana. And I've never been to Montana, too. That would be a glorious state to visit someday. Ellen, thank you very much. And I hope that we drum up some business. And I'd love to hear some testimonials on Wine and Dine Radio down the road.
My pleasure.
I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain, host of Wine and Dine Radio. If your business or organization is considering a media campaign, consider Wine and Dine Radio's global audience. To learn more, contact me online at wineferry.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jakub Potgieter. I'm the winemaker of the Toros Wines. And I invite you, if you want to know everything more about the Pinotage Rosé or any other Toros wine, you're welcome to visit our website at toros.com. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Jeff Cundy from Cundy Estate Winery and Vineyards in Sonoma Valley, California. I wanted to invite you this year to come out and visit us with our sustainable green tours, hiking tours, and free tours. You can go to our webpage at cundy.com, see the dates, and I'd love to have you come out and visit us on the tours. Keep listening to Lynn on Wine and Dine. She certainly knows what she's talking about.
Well, I think it sounds like an awfully good idea to go visit some wineries, take some, get some exercise on foot, bicycle, maybe even canoe. Oh, I love canoeing and water rafting and horseback riding and hiking. And I wish I had time for it. Maybe going on vacation would force me to make time for that. Well, we're continuing our conversation with Zephyr Adventures, and Zephyr Adventures is all about active tourism, but of course, they have many, many tours beyond what we're talking about, wine, visiting wineries and tasting wines. And joining us to explain a little bit more about that is Rena Walsh, talking to us from, is it pronounced Bozeman, Montana, or Bozeman?
That it is.
But the locals pronounce it Bozeman?
That's right.
So why do you live in Bozeman, Montana? Is that where you grew up?
It isn't. I grew up in the Midwest, but moved here after graduating from college to explore the mountains and the vast wilderness that we have out here. It's a beautiful place to live.
You don't live anywhere near Dick Cheney, do you?
No, it's I'm a north big of Yellowstone, state. And he's just south of Yellowstone National Park.
Oh man. Okay, so I just asked Alan about snow in Boulder. Do you have a lot of snow up in Bozeman, Montana, or is it like windy and plains and...
No, we're here in Bozeman, we have lots of snow. In fact, this year we're breaking our averages currently. So it's a beautiful time of year to be here. And while we have a lot of snow, Lynn, it's still a pretty nice climate. So it's nice to get out and play in it.
So you do the skiing and probably, what do you call it, snow skiing, where you're, instead of going downhill, you have these shoes on?
Snowshoes.
Snowshoes. I'm sorry, I'm having
good. Cross-country ski and snowboard and ice climb and all sorts of fun stuff.
Oh, wow. So what is your college degree in? How the heck did you end up doing tourism as a career?
Well, my degree is in environmental science, and so I've always been attracted to being in the outdoors. And that worked well in taking people out in the outdoors and being active with them. I'm also a very active person.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So right now, Alan told us that all these wine active tours are new as of 2008.
That's right. We have ran one press tour and have another tour coming up in April, but these will be new tours, but they're not new destinations to us. We've been working in the travel industry for some time now and are familiar with these areas. And the marriage or the partnership of bringing wine into the itinerary was actually there already, but we've definitely grown that that interest and that focus on all of our tours.
Okay, that makes sense. So you already have people in place for the active part of the tours.
Right. We already kind of knew that these areas that we're visiting, not only are they renowned for their wine and beautiful places to visit, but they also work well. They're a nice place to go and be active, to hike and bike and canoe and horseback ride and so on.
So, for instance, the Oregon tour and the Sonoma tour, do you remember off the top of your head names of a couple wineries you're visiting?
Oh, absolutely. Beyond just knowing the names of the wineries, it's been interesting for us and also for our guests to get to know those people at the wineries. I don't know, just I guess off the top of my head, Pat and her husband at Bethel Heights in the Willamette Valley of Oregon, fantastic people to work with. And all those people in Oregon that represent those wineries have just been so kind and fun to work with and to meet and to learn from. And the same goes for Sonoma. In fact, even in Sonoma County, we're hiking with Jim Murphy of Murphy Good Vineyards, and he's going to be our tour guide on our vineyard walks, and that's just going to be a great experience for everybody involved.
Do you know the Kundi Winery?
Absolutely. In fact, we are going to walk with Sarah Lee Kundi in her River Vineyard, yes.
Okay, because I know they do tours, they do walks and their hikes in their vineyards as well.
Right, and that's in southern Sonoma. Sarah Lee is associated with Kundi and has her own vineyards over there in the Russian River. And so we'll be doing walks through her vineyards that aren't open to the public. There are some vineyards and wineries in the world out there that are offering walks and opening up their vineyards for people to walk through. And sometimes we use those, but often we're going to vineyards and wineries and asking them if we brought some interested wine enthusiasts to the area, could we walk through their vineyards? And everybody's been pretty open to the idea.
Yeah, I would think so. And what are the size of, it's a relatively small size that you guys limit it to, right? It's like 20 people or something?
Yeah, often less than 20 people, 12 to 20, we could say. Kind of depends on the area. For example, in Spain, we might not be able to find hotels that would accommodate as many people as we might find hotels to accommodate in Sonoma.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So you go with the limiting factors.
Right.
Okay. Wow. Well, you know, when you're in a bus or you're driving and you're on tours, you really don't get that sense that you do of lay of a land. And it's so important with a winery and what a wine tastes like, because you understand the elevation and the roly-poliness and what it smells like in the field. And, oh, my gosh, there's a rattlesnake, look out, and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah, it's nice. First of all, we don't take buses. We will take smaller vans. In the United States, that'd be a 12-passenger van. So we aren't pulling up to a winery in a bus. We're not your standard limo or wine bus tour. And you're right. Often when people are on vacation, there's a lot of other things to do. It's work to figure out where to turn left or right, where is the winery, where are we going to eat tonight, what hotel should we stay at. And that can take away from your true vacation experience.
You're so right.
We take care of all of that. And while we travel from winery to winery or vineyard to vineyard, we're talking about the lay of the land, the geology or the environmental aspects, or even the history of the area. So when we come into that winery, we're pretty educated on it.
Now, are you working up some new ideas for trips down the road?
Absolutely. We're going to go with our 7 destinations for 2008, see how it goes. But certainly New Zealand, even Greece or Australia would be, you know, some areas that are on the forefront. But first, let's see how we do it today.
Right, of course. Now, did I hear you say, or was it Alan that said that I think it was you that said you've already had a press tour?
We did. We are reaching out to wine and travel writers and inviting them to join us on tours. We did have a successful tour in Oregon last year. It was a lot of fun, and these were great representatives of being wine connoisseurs, and they had been on other tours and certainly toured many of the wine regions of our world, and all of them spoke very highly of this particular tour and the way we experienced it. Canoeing from a winery to another winery.
Where do you do that? Is that in Oregon?
That's in Oregon. We do canoe the Willamette River. We also vineyard walk from winery to winery. So we go from tasting room to tasting room. But in between, we walk a mile or two through vineyards. And people leave those wineries not only with appreciation for the wine and the taste, and certainly having met the vintner or the owner of the winery helps, but also knowing the lay of the land and seeing how much they care for the grapes and understanding the vineyard and the view from the vineyard, I think that's something that might be remembered longer than a nice label or even a long finish.
I couldn't agree more. And it really, really gives an appreciation for the wines when people are out walking.
Absolutely. I know when I walk into walk through those aisles to get a bottle of wine, and I see a particular label, and it's a label of a wine that I've been to their winery or walked through their vineyards, I think of the vineyard and how nice those owners were to let us walk through the vineyards and how beautiful it was that day. And I also think of that, how good that wine was, and certainly buy it because of that.
Yes. I was just having conversation over the weekend that, to me, despite whatever awards or non-awards a winery gets, to me, wine is so much more. It's about relationships with people, and I like drinking wines from people that I like and I respect, and I have had conversations with them so much more than just a brand that's made and you don't have any connection to.
That's right. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, Reno, I think this is a really cool idea, and if you ever get any leads from the conversations on Wine and Dine Radio, I'd love to have that person or two call me back and for a testimonial that I can record and put up on Wine and Dine Radio. It's always fun to hear people who learn about guests on Wine and Dine Radio and then have it go full circle and share it with other people.
Will do.
Well, I envy you for being in the snow. To tell you the truth, I wish I was in 3 or 4 feet of snow myself and a nice fire going. And you can still have all the technology of 2008 and enjoy being away from a huge, huge population in Bozeman, Montana. Well, when we come back for the third and fourth course, we're going to learn all about Prosecco, which we've never had a conversation devoted to Prosecco on Wine and Dine Radio. Seriously, though, sign up for a tour, Zephyr Adventures. Links are online at winefairy.com, and then let me know. Tell me all about it, and we'll record you.
Links to all guests heard on Wine and Dine Radio can be found online at wineferry.com.